Dun 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 dun.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
I still only count as one!
Okay. You people sit tight, hold the fort, and keep the home fires burning if we're not back by dawn. Call the president.
Groovy.
Hello and welcome to Good Foreign Action Movie and the lamest intro we've ever done. I'm Max Steele.
And I'm Will Thornton, whistling extraordinaire.
And this week we are talking about Mission, colon, Impossible.
That colon is impossible. We've never seen such a large colon. It's late, guys. It's 11:30 p.m. and we just finished watching this movie.
All right. So Mission Impossible is a movie that came out in 1996. It stars all your favorite movie people from the 1990s, including, but not limited to, Tom Cruise, John Voight, Emilio Estevez. What, do you not like Emilio?
He's not in this movie.
Doesn't he play the guy at the beginning?
No chance. That's not Emilio Estevez.
Well, that's got to be him.
The hacker?
The hacker at the beginning? It looks exactly like Emilio Estevez.
Not Emilio Estevez.
Who is that? It looks exactly. He's got to be at least a Sheen brother. What is his name? Jack? It's Emilio Estevez.
You're kidding me. He's in that? Is he uncredited?
As Jack Harmon, Emilio Estevez.
Well, I'll be darned.
Apparently, I know that because my favorite movie from the 1990s was Mighty Ducks, and I am very familiar with a very 1990s Emilio Estevez.
Well, none of that can be included in the show, both because I was wrong and I was off mic the whole time we were talking about that.
Well, Will was the one who wanted to watch this movie. Did you have any reasoning behind it, or you just felt like watching Mission Impossible?
Well, mainly I wanted to watch it because we have a new Mission Impossible movie coming out pretty soon, Mission Impossible Fallout, where Tom Cruise, I assume, fights zombie-like things in a post-apocalyptic world, yada yada. You know, you knew I was going to make that joke. But I think this is one of the big action movie franchises that I've never dipped a toe into. I had never seen this movie. I've never seen a single one, despite the fact that the last two have gotten like widespread acclaim. And Max, I don't think you'd ever seen one of these movies before either, right?
No, I have never seen any of them, but I've heard really good things about them. But mostly about the new ones. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about like the original Mission Impossible, which is a good time to talk about the original Mission Impossible. And who knows, maybe we'll work our way through the entire series. It's a very kind of limited series. What are there, like 6, 7? So kind of a quick overview of the plot of Mission Impossible. So we start with this group of people who are part of the Impossible Missions Force, which that is just a really fun idea right off the base. It's just like the TV show, from what I can tell. They all get together and are tasked with very difficult missions. They go on one of these missions and it goes terribly wrong, and everyone is killed except for Tom Cruise. That would be Ethan Hunt. And they believe that because he survived, essentially like the CIA or like the overlooking IMF people were conducting a counter operation, they think that since Tom Cruise survived, that he is a mole for an arms dealer. And essentially the rest of the movie follows that kind of formula of like him trying to prove his innocence by trying to find who the actual mole was. Well, let's just get right into it. So this is what I found to be a very fun movie. I had no idea that it was directed by Brian De Palma. I've never actually seen a Brian De Palma movie, but I'm very familiar with his work and kind of a little bit of his style. Very heavy on shadows and Dutch angles, which from listeners of previous episodes know that I'm a huge fan of the Dutch angle.
Yeah, for a movie set in Prague, sure were a lot of Dutch angles.
Boo. I like this movie a lot. For a movie that's based off a TV show, it is a really good adaptation, unlike other movies that we may have reviewed. And I think the one thing that is really good about it, that it does, one of the things that a lot of movies that are adapted from TV do right, in making the plot not just another episode of what they do. And from what I'm familiar with, the original series of Mission Impossible, it's basically just like people doing impossible missions for an entire episode and being very successful at it. And then, you know, that's all the episode is. But like right off the bat, they pull off like one successful mission and then everything just kind of goes to hell. And you're thrown into this spy thriller of kind of comparable to, in my mind, I was reminded a lot of like The Fugitive or other movies where an agent has to go rogue, like Skyfall or something like that. Even though this came out well before Skyfall, but that's just what it reminded me of. But so I was very surprised in that regard, and I found it very enjoyable. What were your what are your like overall impressions, Will?
Well, I'd say overall I really, really enjoyed this movie. I wasn't sure if I was going to like it a lot or if, you know, maybe when we watched it now we thought maybe it didn't age well, but I actually think it has aged extraordinarily well. I thought across the board it was really well paced, really well acted. The story was very surprising. This is a movie that kills off the entire team it introduces in the first 20 minutes. Now you will find out later, and I'm not worried about spoilers because this movie came out 22 years ago, but you'll find out later some of those team members did not actually die, but still very impressive, like a very sort of bold storytelling. I also just found the action scenes really, really thrilling. That train scene, I've seen obviously shots from that and stills from it, but man, that's very well done. It still looks great. The fight on top of the train, the helicopter in the tunnel, I thought all that looked fantastic still. I think it's a really great example of how some 90s CGI still looks so much better than CGI today because it was used in such a specific way and people were so careful with it. So for instance, a movie like Jurassic Park kind of looks better than a movie like Jurassic World, and that, you know, there's 25 years in between those two movies, but Jurassic Park, in some ways, because the CGI was used so carefully and exactly, it looks a lot better. And Mission Impossible is the same way. All those shots still look wonderful. And I like the movie a lot. I thought Tom Cruise is a great leading man, and he knows how to lead the cast of an action movie. There's lots of shifting allegiances and intrigue and spy stuff. And yeah, it reminded me a lot of like a Bond film where you're a little confused the whole time, but you're not exactly following like all the plot intricacies. And you're mostly just interested in like a really fun city hopping romp.
And going back to something that you said before, like you said, basically in the first 20 minutes, they kill off this entire team that they introduce. They introduce the team in a very like TV show kind of way. And something that I think is very smart about this movie is that it starts almost exactly like a TV show would. There's a cold open, and then there's a very admittedly kind of hokey credit sequence that is almost akin to like a CSI Miami. Like the theme music plays, and there's like different scenes of them doing different spy stuff, and you're kind of set up to be in mind of just like a kind of a TV show episode, which when all the characters would die would be essentially the end of the TV episode at about like 22-25 minutes, and then it just takes on an entire new kind of feeling in the movie, and it is really just kind of enjoyable to watch. Like Will said, the action pieces are pretty cool, and we can talk about that more. But there's also just some I don't want to call them like little quiet moments, but there's also just some really fun parts where you can tell that like De Palma or whoever was working on the movie with the actors was basically like, you know, let's just have like a fun moment here, because there is an entire scene based around Tom Cruise doing a magic trick. There are little moments like at the end, just watching Vin Rames and Tom Cruise interact, which is pretty fun. So you really do kind of get a little bit of sense of the characters too, in addition of being this really cool like spy thriller.
I also want to talk a little bit about it's such a famous film score, but the music in this movie is just fantastic. It's super well done. The cues are all really well handled. They know they have that iconic theme song, and they use it really well. They use it in exactly the right moments. Towards the end of the movie, when Tom Cruise and John Voight are on the legs of the helicopter that Gene Reno is flying, and they start playing that theme song, it just put a big smile on my face. Just such a well-timed thing where you have the shot and the music and the characters and all the tension, and the whole plot is contingent. It's just like, oh, that's like the perfect little action moment there. And then you have the payoff of Tom Cruise and the exploding gum. This movie does a really good job of foreshadowing a lot of different important plot points that come up later. Like I just said, the exploding gum, the masks, the Bible, just like little lines all come back throughout. It's just a really well-written movie overall.
Yes, a little bit of Chekhov's gum, if I if you don't mind.
I'd like to take a moment and talk about cyber hacking. This movie, as we mentioned, came out in 1996. And boy, the digital stuff in this movie is, at this point in time, hilarious. Max and I were having good laughs throughout. We watched this movie together. We don't often watch the movies that we review together, but we did watch this one. And, oh man, it's just the on-screen graphics and what the characters are typing and using, like Usenet groups and stuff like that, is so 1996 and very, very enjoyable. Max, did you have a favorite line about hacking from the movie?
There's just, I don't know, like the line itself isn't really funny. It's just like people get very excited about hacking in this movie just because it's a new thing, and like you can tell from like how they portray it in the movie is that like it's a very niche science, and like these people are like such like cool people for being able to hack into computers. And Tom Cruise at one point is recruiting Ving Rhames for the job that he's doing and says, "This is the Mount Everest of hacks," which I told Will at the moment is like such an antiquated thing to say. There's just also some really other funny things, like when they send emails, it looks like an actual piece of mail, and like it gets sent to like the back of the computer. It's just kind of ridiculous in that sense, which is really weird because most of this movie is not antiquated in any sense, or everything kind of feels like honestly a lot of this movie probably could come out now and it wouldn't be too different. But they're just like little moments where there's that, and there's also a moment when Ving Rhames is blocking a signal and literally just types on his computer "block signal."
Another thing I really do like about this movie is that it sort of does a great job of just sort of like throwing you into this world. It doesn't really introduce too much. Like, I was asking Max after the movie, like, what does IMF actually stand for? Like, I don't know if they ever actually say the Impossible Missions Force. And it's just sort of like, we have this team, we do missions together. Tom Cruise is not even really like introduced as the leading role. He's just sort of like there. Like, there's a moment where he like takes off his mask he's wearing, you're like, oh, that's Tom Cruise, but he's just sitting around the table with everyone else. It kind of reminds, it's a little bit of a Psycho thing where they introduce the team and then immediately kill it off, sort of like a Janet Leigh kind of thing, and or like a Scream thing, which came out right at the same time as this movie, I guess. But I think that goes back to sort of having the feel of a TV show where we get sort of like one episode in this story, and then we just sort of expand upon this operation that's gone horribly wrong.
Good. So I think it's as good a time as any to talk specifically. We kind of mentioned it a little bit before, talk specifically about the action that's in the movie, as this is an action movie podcast. We basically say that every episode. But like Will said, it looks very good and it's very enjoyable. There's not a ton of action in this movie, but when it is there, it is very exciting. There are two really cool like action set pieces in the movie. One is the one that we're all familiar with that includes Tom Cruise hanging from a ceiling, and the ability to do a very quiet, very tense, essentially action sequence where Tom Cruise is trying to basically just get a bunch of files off of a computer, going back to the plot that we were talking about. But just all the stakes that they mention in that scene, and like he can't make any sounds, he can't get off too much body heat because that sets off alarms. And there's this guy who keeps coming in the room that me and Will were a big fan of. That is just such a cool one. And the shots in there, like the shot of Tom Cruise like falling and then almost grazing the floor, I think is one of the more iconic shots in action movie history. And then, as Will said before, I just had so much fun watching a fight on top of a train. It has been done before, and it has been done since as well. But this is a bullet train that they are on, so it is going at least like 150 miles an hour. But this it happens in Britain, so it's probably 200 kilometers an hour. If I check that math real quick in my mind, but it's just so fun to also just see John Voight hanging on to a very fast moving train.
There is indeed wonderful action throughout this movie. It's a lot of like it. It's a lot of tense scenes. Like, I would describe this as more like a thriller than an action movie. It's almost like kind of Hitchcockian a little bit, where it's very tense, and especially that scene in the safe is very Hitchcock-like, where you have all these different things. Nothing is like, the audience knows everything. You know the guy's about to walk back in the room. You know there's sweat dripping down his forehead, and that if it hits the ground, they're screwed. You know the temperature, like all this, but it's still like, oh my gosh, are they going to make it? And then the end scene where they drop the knife down and it like stabs into the desk is such just like a cool little shot. And then he comes back in the room, and this knife is just stuck by the computer. And the train scene, I already talked a little bit about it. I just wanted to say that if you're looking for another really good train, top of train fight in a more recent movie, I would check out the top of the train fight in 2013's The Wolverine, a movie that not a lot of people saw. It's the precursor to Logan, where Hugh Jackman fights people in Japan. And there's a very good bullet train fight scene that happens on top of the train, a little more modern looking in, as an action sequence, but just wanted to recommend that. That will not be my recommendation for the day, but maybe if you don't want to watch that whole movie, which it's a pretty good movie, I'd recommend looking up that scene on YouTube or something. It's pretty great.
Oh, something that I wanted to mention is that earlier in this podcast, we've also, like earlier episodes, we watched like Edge of Tomorrow and stuff like that. And I think it's really fun to compare movies with Tom Cruise in them, because he has matured a lot in terms of his acting ability. Because even in this movie, I think he's very good, and he's definitely enjoyable to watch, and he has a lot of charisma. But he volume acts a lot in this movie. He just yells sometimes, and it just sounds like I am yelling because I am acting. Which is something that is interesting to look for, but especially comparing to his newer movies where you can actually like pull off a lot of really good range. So that's just something interesting about the movie as well, especially seeing him at so young, because I think he looks really young now and he's 50 something. So seeing him look younger makes him look like he is basically 15 years old, which is, he's not that old. I think he's like 30 or like late 20s in this movie, but he just looks so young.
You got Babyface Cruise, indeed. Yeah, he does look really young compared to just like the recent Mission Impossible movies and stuff like Edge of Tomorrow. I don't have too many more thoughts. I really liked the movie, and it made me really want to see the rest of the series. I'm excited to kind of go through it. We might do them here on the podcast, but I would say that I definitely am more interested in watching these movies. They've had such an incredible string of directors. I was telling this to Max. You have Brian De Palma, then the next movie is directed by John Woo, and then J.J. Abrams did Mission Impossible 3, and then Brad Bird, our beloved incredible director, did Ghost Protocol. And then Chris McQuarrie, I think his name is, has done the last two, and he wrote movies like The Usual Suspects and Edge of Tomorrow. So it's a really talented group of people who've been involved with these movies, and I'm, you know, kind of sad I didn't get on board the bullet train earlier.
Hey, that's what we call a callback. Cool. So I'm definitely down to, this is another shorter episode, but just because it was, I think me and Will are just very relieved to be reviewing a good movie again after last week's Baywatch. So we can definitely get into ratings and recs. So for ratings, I'm going to give this movie 3 out of 4 stars as a movie. Just because it's really fun. The plot is not like a big part of it, but it makes sense and it's told in a very deliberate and interesting way. About halfway through the movie, I was like, this is probably like a 2.5-star movie, but it really kind of picks up at the end as well, and everything kind of makes sense. And when you think about everything again, it does make it even better. So that's a three out of four star movie for me. And then as an action movie, it's interesting just because, like you said, it's more of a thriller. There's only one real, like, action-y scene in it, but it's very cool on top of a train that's going very, very fast. I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 Job@mail.coms. The one thing that I was thinking about during the movie is that I really wanted to see, like, if I was my age in 1996, I would want to see this in theaters so badly, just because I got the same feeling watching this as I did, like, when I saw John Wick or something in theaters. That's all I wanted to mention.
Yeah, absolutely. If I had been 13 in 1996, like, this would have been, like, probably my favorite movie. Like, this is so cool. Well, I'm going to echo your 3 out of 4 star rating. I think that's this is, like, an ideal 3 star movie. It's very solid. It's well paced, exquisitely paced, even. It's very well shot. The music is great. It doesn't have any, like, overwhelming, like depth of, like, story or anything like that. Like, it doesn't have, like, strong themes or anything. It's just a really great, fun movie. So 3 out of 4 stars. You'll get exactly what you come from. You'll get exactly what you come for. Just a really good action movie. And action-wise, I will give this 7.5 uncredited Esteveses. I did look it up. He is uncredited in the movie. Perhaps they were trying to make you think that he was going to be a big character, because it is Emilio Estevez. And I just made this connection. You have a little Outsiders reunion there with Tom Cruise and Emilio Estevez. So... But we can move on to recommendations. I'm going to recommend a movie that I think is a lot like Mission Impossible in some ways, but very different in others. And that is a movie that I think came out in 2017, but maybe 2016. It is called Atomic Blonde. It's directed by David Leitch. It's based on the graphic novel by Anthony Johnston. And it stars Charlize Theron, James McAvoy. John Goodman is in it. It is a spy thriller with a lot of shifting allegiances, and you never know who's working for who, and it's very, very confusing. I can't even claim I understood half of the story, but it has like a really strong visual flair to it, and Charlize Theron is really good in it, and I enjoyed it a lot. I think it's streaming on HBO Go, and if you like movies like Mission Impossible or like Max said, like Skyfall, or just any of the like Daniel Craig Bond movies, I think you should check out Atomic Blonde. You'll probably really enjoy it.
All right. So for my recommendations, I actually have 2 again this week, just because I've been going through a lot of texts. I have a lot of free time going on right now. Something that I was really interested in getting into. So I was at a Barnes & Noble going through the Criterion collections that were at a specific one, and I noticed that there was a movie that I had never heard of, which usually doesn't happen. Usually I at least like hear about like the more notables of movies, and it was called Shoah, which is a 10-hour documentary about the Holocaust, which is directed by, oh, I had his name right here, Claude Lanzmann, who actually just died. So I thought that it'd be a good idea to check out that. And it is a very, very interesting documentary. The really interesting thing about it is that it was produced in the 1980s. I think a lot of the documentaries about the Holocaust either occur, or the ones that at least I'm familiar with and that a lot of people watch, are the ones that were made directly after the Holocaust and all the events going on there, or the ones that are made very recently where they talk about it with archival footage and stuff like that. But the interesting thing about this movie is that you get the perspectives of all the people involved while they are still alive and after they've had a decent amount of time to reflect on what has happened to them. And it's not, and the interesting parts are not only the interviews with the victims, people who had to live through it and these terrible, terrible things, but also getting interviews from people who were guards at the camps, people who lived in the Polish villages like Treblinka, were Christians, so they weren't persecuted, but they saw everyone going to their deaths. And there's just really, really fascinating things in this documentary. I have one more part to go through it, and I am really excited to go through that. So if you ever find yourself with 10 hours, or just 2.5, because you can just watch them part by part, they're in 4 parts, each 2.5 hours long. You can do that as well. And then to bring up our spirits here at the end, I also watch Coco. That is my other recommendation. It's going to be Pixar's Coco. I had never seen it before until a couple nights ago. It's really good. Like, not much can be said about Coco that hasn't been said already. It's very, it's probably one of the most fun movies that I've watched in the last year, honestly. If I had seen it last year, it probably would have been my favorite movie of the year. Very good, very funny. very touching, all that good stuff, everything that you're looking for a Pixar movie. I liked it a lot, and I can't wait to watch it again. So those are going to be my recommendations. So Showa, Coco, check out both of those.
Right on, right on. Well, thanks for listening, folks, and tuning in for another episode. We will be back on the airwaves in a week or two with some more movies. Don't be afraid to recommend something if you'd like us to watch an action movie. If you want us to talk about more Mission Impossible movies, maybe review some more sewer trash like Baywatch. We're happy to do whatever for you guys. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you soon.
Yeah, see you, everybody.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
It's over.
Nothing is over.
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's over. Go home.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Dun, 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 dun.